Welcome to City Council. It's 7 o'clock, Monday, April 10th, 2017. Welcome to City Council meeting for the City of Shore Acres. 1.0, call to order, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowen.
Present.
Alderwoman Schnell.
Present.
Alderman Bowles.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Mayor Sanford.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Okay, pledge of allegiance, 2.0. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on, 3.0. 3.1, presentation of Bay Area Attorney Fund. Proclamation recognizing April as National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Audrey Flowers is here. Is Audrey here?
I do not see her.
No? So we will move on to 3.2, proclamation recognizing April as Fair Housing Month. Proclamation, whereas Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968 is amended to prohibit discrimination in housing and declares it a national policy to provide within constitutional limits for fair housing in the United States, and whereas the principle of fair housing is not only national law and national policy, but a fundamental human concept and entitlement for all Americans, and whereas the National Fair Housing Law during the month of April provides an opportunity for all Americans to recognize that complete success in the goal of equal housing opportunity can only be accomplished with the help and cooperation of all Americans. Now, therefore, I, Kimberly Sanford, Mayor of the City of Shore Acres, do hereby claim the month of April 2017 Fair Housing Month in the City of Shore Acres, Texas, and do hereby urge all citizens of this locality to become aware of and support the Fair Housing Month. Okay, 3.3, proclamation recognizing April as Safe Digging Month. We had Aaron Bronson here with Third Point Energy. We're going to present this proclamation to him. Proclamation for Safe Digging Month, whereas each year Texas vital underground utility infrastructure is jeopardized by unintentional damage by those who fail to call 811 to have underground lines located prior to digging. Whereas undesired consequences such as utility service interruption, damage to the environment, personal injury, and even death are the potential results of failing to locate underground lines before digging. Whereas Texas 811 and its more than 1,400 members and sponsors promote the national call before you dig number 811 in an effort to prevent these damages. And whereas designated by the FCC in 2005, 811 provides excavators and homeowners a simple toll-free number to call and request utility line location at the intended dig site. Whereas though education on safe digging practices, excavators and homeowners can save time and money and prevent serious injury to themselves and others by calling 811 before beginning a digging project, any digging project. Waiting 2 full business days for locate marks, verifying the utility response, protecting the marks so they remain visible throughout the project, and finally digging with the care around the marks. Whereas all parties agree that safe digging is a shared responsibility. Now, therefore, I, Kimberly Sanford, Mayor of the City of Shore Acres, do hereby extend greetings and best wishes to all observing April 2017 as Safe Digging Month. I'd like to present this to Center Point Energy, Aaron Bronson. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome.
I'd just like to say a little bit about Safe Digging Month. Actually, April is considered statewide. The governor usually signs a proclamation just for the state. We also like to broaden it out to the cities. Kind of let the citizens be aware that it is a law that you call before you dig. I don't know if everybody knows that's a state law, but 811, it's a free service. If you're going to dig more than 9 inches deep, then you need to call 811 and get locates. Like I said, it's a free service, so just want to make the citizens aware too while we're here. So thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. Moving on to 4.0, Council Reports and Requests, 4.1, Mayor Sanford, 4.1.1, Items of Community Interest, 4.1.2, Southeast Texas Housing Finance Corporation Affordable Housing Fund Project 6. We have 13 projects that we are working on, or that we've submitted applications for that Seth has approved. That was for 9 homes. Out of the 9 homes, There are three projects that are waiting to be completed. The total approved by Seth for expenditures on these projects to date is $47,881. We, like I said, we've helped nine homes. We've had a total of 11 applicants. One is pending, one withdrew. The total assistance, as I said, Seth has approved to date, $47,881. There's $2,119 left. The last application I'll be submitting this week, and that'll cover different change orders. When they start projects, they get in there and something comes up and ends up being another $100 or $200. So I have to submit change orders. So we have $2,119 left, which I'll be submitting an application with that for the remainder so that we can pay the change orders. Also, for another resident who has a pending application to cover, to do some gutter repairs for her and to paint another home. We've put on four roofs. We've demoed a pool. We are replacing two main water lines. We've repaired some decking, some rotten decking, and weatherized it. We are replacing some attic stairs. Let me see, I think that's about it. We painted a home. We've done some work to a back porch. We have helped certain citizens that have been living in unsatisfactory conditions since Hurricane Ike that were in much need of the repair. Seth is a wonderful program, and that's where we're at on that. That is my report. So moving on to, let me find my agenda. Sorry, I lost it here. To 4.2, Alderman Bowles.
Prepared a little slideshow here. I'll check for me. I'm going to stand up for a second. Bad habit. That's what we do. So, the last time Troy could receive funds from SOAP was in 2005. Community came together to rebuild somebody's house in the neighborhood. It was in very bad shape. Raccoons living in the kitchen, open ceilings in the house, roof was leaking really bad. We came together as a community. That point in time, I moved off. I wasn't living here, but I came back to help. We worked on the house, got some funding from Seth for it. Seth wrote a check to the city. We got volunteers from the Port of Houston and that sort of thing. City didn't spearhead it. It was a group effort by the community. Seth gives the city money. It goes into our account. We write the checks. When a contractor gets paid, we write the checks. It comes from the city. Currently, City Council does not have any oversight over any of this. This is something I wanted to bring up last week. Didn't get to do it in our last meeting. No oversight. So the city's writing a check for money. We don't know what it's going for, what it's actually the repairs or anything like that. We find out, you know, a little later. There's no criteria. We don't know if somebody's claiming that they're destitute, if they have an issue, that sort of thing. I think there needs to be a criteria. You can go by and see somebody's house. They might not own it, or they may, or they don't want to ask for help. You know, it just depends, but we need to have a criteria. No limit on amount granted per resident. You can go in and spend the whole money on it. Now, in the past, that's been done, but you know, at that point in time, it was such a bad place that it had to be done. There's no bidding process. So right now, the way that everything's been done so far, council has not seen any kind of bid or assessment of anything that's been done, the work. There's been a couple of estimates, and there's some conflict on what the quotes were. And I feel that we need to have a little more say and a little more information on this sort of thing. Because, yes, Seth gives it, but it's still the city's money. I mean, we still have to write a check. It comes out of our check.
That's not actually true. Seth approves each project.
But, I do have the floor. Thank you. Verification of contractors. Right now, there's no way to verify the contractors. They come in to do the work. We don't know if they're licensed, if they aren't licensed. It's just, hey, let's get a bid and let's see who's got. And that's fine, but let's get people that are licensed to come in and do the work. Any faulty work, we're writing the checks. City's liable. I don't care if there's anything signed that says, hey, we're giving up our rights, we're still liable. We can get sued. Just because you sign something saying, hey, I'm not going to sue you, they can still come back and get us. And there's no verification that the resident's living there is an owner. It should be an owner. Point of order, please. I have the floor. The verification of residence Okay, somebody lives in a house and they don't own it. It could be a rent house. It could be whatever. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that one bit. Correct exchanges. This is something that I'm hoping to work toward. Create a citizens committee to recommend where the help's needed. Let's get the community back together. Let everybody else go out and let's join together and work on this. We've done it before. We can still do it. Currently, the way it is, we have an election in the city every year. And if you put it in city council's hands, the appearance is not good. And I'm not accusing, I'm not making anything of this sort. I'm saying it doesn't appear right. And we need to keep our hands out of it and let the city have it. Let you people, let the citizens have it. That way there's no discrepancy. Part three works for bid, for work. The city does that with contractors. Why can't we do that with people coming in to repair people's houses in the city? It's making a requirement. Council approves the funding. We approve all of it. I mean, tonight on the agenda, we have to approve all the invoices. Let's approve the funding that goes out. Nobody's going to deny anything. We're not going to sit here and shame people. It's not their fault. Perhaps put a limit on the amount for each address. LaPorte has it right now. It's $10,000 per resident. That way we can spread it apart. But that's something the council should discuss. If we're going to do this, let's work together and come up with a solution. And let's verify ownership and residency. There's houses in this neighborhood that look terrible, and they've been abandoned, and it'd be great to go up and do repairs on it, but if we don't know who owns it, or if there's nobody living in it, or if there's people living there that don't own it, and not on the tax rolls, let's give the money to somebody else that deserves it. And I appreciate it. Thank you for the time tonight.
Are you taking questions or comments?
No, we're moving on to public comments.
Comments.
5.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council on or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments would be directed to the city council and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law to participate in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on this agenda. We're going to start over here. Do you guys have something? No? Anybody back here? No?
I'm Neil Moyer, 1118 North Country Club Drive. There is another item related to Seth on the agenda, but it's not very apparent to most people. One has to go into the invoices and the billing that the attorney has made. And in this billing round, there appears to be approximately $3,120 worth of billings from the city attorney related to the Seth program. Now, it's not abundantly obvious why the city, and you haven't heard any explanation tonight, needs to be spending this kind of money on city attorney fees, which clearly were not appropriated for this activity. I might also say that in the city attorney fees, there's $1,341 identified in the billing related to the measure on refunding water shutoff fees. Again, that seems to be a rather extraordinary amount of money to be charged to this one item. And I'd like to speak to that one item. As I understand, most all of the 41 people who was proposed get this refund back, all but five of them are the people who habitually, routinely, constantly fail to pay their bills to the city on time. Now, I don't understand why these people get special treatment month after month after month, and now are going to get more special treatment. If they feel that they deserve $25 back for violating the city's code, let them come before the council and explain to the council, to the rest of us, what the point is. There's apparently only five people here who are not part of that group of recidivists, and that's easy enough to find out, so it's not a problem for the city council to know who the recidivists are that are going to receive this boon. I think it's unfair to the people who pay their bills on time and in full, always, and I think the council should not provide this until those members of the community come forth to the city council and explain why they should be getting this particular grant of funds. Thank you very much.
Moving on, you got anything?
David Harris, 215 Oakdale. A couple of things I noticed on here. As far as the elevated storage tank, I do this kind of work for a living, and it'd be a much more cost-effective solution to put in another hydro tank or even two hydro tanks in place of the water tower. And we're good. Pretty common. Most neighborhoods use hydro tanks now. And the other one is, I think the SEP funding, if you start working on somebody's place, you do have to have the proper paperwork, and you have to have licensed people, you can't get into a lot of trouble. It needs to be run just like you were bidding anything else for the city, or if you run into real problems. Thank you.
Tim Pugh, 538 Shore Acres. I had a comment for the CenterPoint Energy representative that was here, and I guess I'll just make that comment also for you. I had called 811 when I was recently doing a digging project in my backyard, and only had one utility company come to actually mark out the lines in those communications. So I know that there's a requirement to halt digging operations until give the 811 and utility companies 2 days prior to starting to dig. And there are follow-up actions that can be taken in order to not force their hand, but give the utilities time to come and mark those lines. But I was curious why. I know that there's right-of-way and there are lines that run down the right-of-way between those yards. Didn't know why CenterPoint had not come out to do that. Regarding the SEP, I'm not even sure what SEP stands for. Tell me that. Maybe I'll ask afterwards. But it sounded like there were $50,000 allocated for this program, and I was curious if that $50,000 was for the entire year. I'm not sure of that. And it's only April. It sounds like we've already gone through that. Perhaps somebody can answer that question. I've seen some posts on Nextdoor regarding these coyotes, and I've heard them in the past month or so. And I've gone on to the City of Four Acres and looked into the city ordinances to understand a little more about whether a hunting license is required. I now understand, according to Article 3, Division 2, Section 4295, that a permit is required to hunt or trap wildlife coyote. I don't know if anybody has any history with this, and if they're what's required to obtain a permit to do this. And I now, if everybody doesn't know, I'll tell you now, I just recently got two goats in my backyard, and they're pretty safe. They're contained in the backyard. There's not a lot of ingress for animals, but I know there's coyotes around, and I'd like to be proactive in trapping and releasing or hunting these animals just to prevent anything from happening to my goats. Maybe that's all I should be. Regarding the city manager Proposition 1 that's coming up for election, I have a couple questions, and I know that there is some information disseminated this weekend regarding this. I'd like to see an independent information session for questions about what this entails, how it works. Like, off the top of my head, I have a question here. I understand that city manager, the city council and the mayor will act as equal members, like a board of directors kind of. And the question is, who has executive authority if the city council is split, or deadlocked? Who would have the executive authority to overcome that? I think I have 2 minutes left. I just wanted to provide some information. So the Baylor College of Medicine is currently holding Zika vaccine trials for research. They've developed an experimental Zika vaccine, and they're seeking volunteers to participate in a study where you do not get infected with the live virus of Zika, but they do have an experimental vaccine that they're testing and the effects on the subjects. I actually just got my screening today, and there is monetary compensation for your time for that, and just wanted to throw it out there for for everybody if they're interested in participating in that. So you can go to the Baylor College of Medicine website and get more information. And just one note, when I was looking into the house, when I was buying this house, there was an issue regarding the deed restrictions and right-of-way and easements. And I went back into the deed of the Harris County Deed of Records to do some digging to combat what the title company was telling me. And I found, you said that the Harris County, April is the Fair Housing Month. And I just want to note this, that in the Harris County Deed of Records, there is a clause which says, no one in the city of Shore Acres shall sell or rent their house to anyone other than of a Caucasian race. And title companies take exception to this these days, of course, but it is in there, and it's still in there.
Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else down this way? No? Okay, so we're going to move on to 6.0 Administrative Report, 6.1 City Administrator General Activity Report, David Stahl.
Good evening. First, I would like to recognize Chief Harrison standing over here by the stairs. Today is exactly his 5th anniversary with the City of Shore Acres. He'll be looking for the additional week of vacation, I'm sure. Municipal Court update. Debbie Nesbitt, that I introduced at the last council meeting, started 2 weeks ago. She's been doing an outstanding job. We have virtually caught up now on most of the initial entry into court that had been delayed because we thought we were moving to report and then filling the position. And so we're working our way out of that hole. I've had a couple conversations, as she has, with the state court administration office, and while we're behind on some of those reportings, we're not in any danger of them being unhappy with us. They understand the situation, and we're making great headway. So municipal court, we've had one municipal court session since our clerk retired. Prior to our replacing her with Debbie Nesbitt, we're getting ready to have court this coming Thursday, and we'll have our new clerk in place. I just wanted to update you on that. That's all I got.
6.2 Monthly Police Department Report, Chief Harrison.
Thank you. Like you guys have received this report and looked at it, the one thing that stands out this month is animal control. We've had 6 calls. We've actually had more than that, but they've every one been for snakes. So it's a time of year where you've got to watch out for those guys. And honestly, I wish you wouldn't call me because I hate them. But we do. We respond to those. We bought a couple of snake catch poles last year. Before that, we didn't have them. But we will come out and help you on that. If you have those, on a serious note, don't try to mess with them. I see Facebook posts continuously where people ask, what kind of snake is this? And they get 37 different answers. So don't take a chance on me. You know, we have some that could hurt you. I killed a copperhead at my house the other night at the back door, and those can hurt you. So please call us, let us handle it. We're not professionals, but we're probably better equipped to handle it than you are. Other than that, this looks like a pretty normal month for us. Any questions before I have one last comment? And Mr. Stahl, thank you so much. I honestly didn't even realize it had been 5 years, but it has been a great 5 years. I'm living the dream. I really am. I appreciate it. And this last week is no different. The phone calls I got and the people that came by after last Monday after Clint Greenwood was killed was just crazy. The people that came by, the people that called us, and even though Clint had not been a resident of this area for very long and working at Precinct 3 in Harris County, he'd been around a long time. A lot of people knew him and knew his name. And I just think it's great how our community reaches out to our police department when those things happen. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I've worked in places before where that was third page news. And when it happens in our community, the phone calls I get, I can't hardly take them all. And I'm appreciative that this community stands behind the police department like they do. And that's to you citizens and to you council. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Audrey? Yes, you missed us.
I hate to admit this, but I was over at
LaPorte.
No,
Shore Acres.
Not Shore Acres, Clear Lake Shores. I had a Shore
Did you like to go ahead and do the proclamation? Do you guys mind if we go ahead and do this for us?
Okay. That would be wonderful.
Okay, thank you for coming. So we're doing a proclamation for, we did a proclamation last council meeting for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I'm going to go ahead and read over it again. I read it last.
Okay.
Thank you. Council meeting. We're at Sexual Assault Awareness Month, called attention to the fact that sexual violence is widespread and impacts every person in the community. Whereas rape, sexual assault, and sexual harassment harm our community, and statistics show 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men will be raped at some point in their lives. Whereas child sexual abuse prevention must be a priority to confront the reality that 1 in 6 boys and 1 in 4 girls will experience sexual assault before the age of 18. And whereas young people experience heightened rape and sexual violence in youth ages 12 to 17, were 2.5 times as likely to be victims of rape or sexual assault. And whereas on campus, 1 in 5 women and 1 in 16 men are sexually assaulted during their time in college. Whereas the theme of this year's Sexual Assault Awareness Month campaign is engaging new voices, the campaign calls on new partners and community members to help expand sexual assault prevention efforts and ensure the next generation fosters attitudes that promote healthy relationships, equality, and respect. Now, therefore, I, Kimberly Sanford, Mayor of the City of Shore Acres, do hereby join advocates in communities across the country in taking action to prevent sexual violence and hereby proclaim April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month in the City of Shore Acres, and that each day of the year is an opportunity to create change for the future.
Thank you. My name is Audrey Flowers, and I'm a volunteer at Bay Area Turning Point, and we can always use more volunteers. It's a great place to volunteer. And on behalf of the agency, I'd like to thank Mayor Sanford and the City Council and the citizens of Shore Acres for supporting Bay Area Turning Point and acknowledging April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. Thank you for coming.
Yes.
Sorry you got lost.
Yes.
I have some information. Is there some place where I could leave my
poster? You can. You want to give it up here and we can make it available?
One thing I want to tell you about, and we're doing this, we're having a 2-page essay, not a contest, but a contribution to bring strength and hope to victims. And if you share your story, it's going to be posted on Facebook. But it just gives, if other people know what others have gone through, it just gives them so much strength and hope. And what else have we got here? Okay, I'm going to leave you some of these domestic violence ones. Can I leave the whole page?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, because we've got...
Anybody that wants one that's here can just swing by and pick it up on their way out.
Okay. And then there's about the shelter. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Bay Area Turning Point, but it is a shelter for women and children. And to show your support, you can wear the teal ribbon. But we do a lot of outside, not in the shelter work, and crisis intervention and advocacy. It's just a wonderful thing that gives people strength and hope. And I hope that you will pick up some of this and give it some thought. Okay? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So we've done the police report. We're going to move on to 6.3 monthly public works department report.
In your packet is the written report from Mayor King, Public Works Director. We had a good month with only a couple small water leaks, so that's great. The public works department also provided some support to the Parks and Recreation Group and Circle Park in getting things under the new equipment ready, doing some painting, and also delivering, assembling and delivering some new picnic tables that we've had in stock. And that's all I've got.
Moving on, 6.4, City Engineer's Report, Jerry Gaynor.
Good evening. 6.4.1 is alternative to the elevated water storage. Some good news, I guess, right now you currently have enough pressure tank capacity. This is a 20,000 gallon pressure tank next door, which is, you have 1,000 connections that you're able to have on that tank. And currently you have 660 residential connections, and current, and so you have 925 maximum residential connections. You have 5 commercial connections and 14 public connections. So there's a little bit of room there on the system. It gets into a question of fire flow. The TCEQ requirements require a minimum sufficient water flow of at least 250 gallons per minute for 2 hours, and still have a minimum water system pressure of 20 psi. And so there's some testing that could be done to confirm. I mean, based on your system, you have enough water for the system, but if you're putting out a fire, it could be questionable. David, has there been tests? I know you did fire flow tests on most of the hydrants.
Yeah, we do flow tests. You said 250 gallons per minute?
For 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually, if a hydrant only were to flow 250 gallons per minute, it would not be considered a working hydrant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's below the minimum.
Right.
That's not a lot of water. We could certainly do that with any hydrant that we have. Well, mm-hmm. with two exceptions. Any of the other hydrants.
Okay. So your current, I mean, right now the way the system is valved off, you're really running off of this pressure tank, except at night. And so you're getting a good test the system is working. So it's kind of up to y'all. You can kick the can down the road, but the tower's still an issue because it will fall over one of these days, the condition it's in. It is you are generating revenue from it for cell phone rental, but the legs are in pretty bad shape. I mean, I suppose you could do some remediation. You could do some welding on the legs and strengthen it up if you want to keep it. Any questions?
Mayor Sanford has the floor, but I've got 1,000.
You go ahead, Doug.
Well, I don't think anybody in this room thinks we have enough pressure, Mr. Gaynor.
Right.
You just said fire flow. We have enough pressure for a fire hydrant. We can't even dance around and get a shower in the middle of the night. I mean, that's a fact. So I'm just stunned by what you just said based on our previous conversation.
Doesn't mean that the plumbing is actually capable of delivering. You have a head loss through the system with piping, and your old pipes have more head loss.
You just told us that we had enough pressure tank capacity.
You have enough.
It takes 20 minutes to fill a toilet.
You have enough tank capacity, but it doesn't mean that you have pressure in the system. If you have, for example, if you had a 2-inch line at the far end of town, or a 1-inch line feeding a house, the line could be corroded and such that you just are getting a trickle of water out of it. So there's a lot of studying that you could go in and find your pressure problems. I mean, it's two different situations, but having the tank capacity to meet TCEQ requirements is one thing. Having the pressure at somebody's tap or in their house is completely different.
Okay.
I'm just trying to tell you that you're okay from tank capacity.
Want to spend the night?
Well, I mean,
hey, at some point you just got to be realistic here.
Well, if you could start mapping out the problem areas, maybe it's the whole town, but you know, it's then we could start looking at the water lines and the condition that they're in.
I can address what the middle of the night pressure issue is. The pressure issue is that this water plant that's next to Poly Works, water plant number one, is our main water plant. Main ground storage and our main boosters for the city. It's located in the center of the city, so it serves well in its original plant location. The problem is there is no water source there. So we can't pump water that we don't have. So what happens is, in the middle of the night, we shut this plant down and we open a valve to fill the ground storage tanks off of system pressure. And that's like having a 3-inch water break in the middle of the night, and that we use the minimum that we can and still fill the tanks. These are 20-foot tanks, and so it takes some pressure to get in there, and at the other reaches of the city, the pressure drops, and it has to get the water put in that tank, because there's no other way to get the water in there. We could solve that problem. One would be a water tower, but another solution in addition to the water tower, and it would really be necessary even with the water tower, because water towers don't produce water, is a transmission line that runs from where we get our water, which is at the far north end of Bioforest, where we have water plant number two. That water plant is really marginally undersized to carry the city, so we can't just pump from there. But if we were to run a line from there to this water plant and take that water that we buy, the surface water from the LaPorte Water Authority, and put it in this tank all day and all night, then we could pump from this all day and all night. Our consumption is really low during the night, and so we'd refill the tanks, and then during the day in the peak it would absorb that. And so water tower or no water tower, at some point we really should have a water transmission line to get that surface water to our main water plant instead of the secondary water plant. And I would also mention that it is about 200 gallons a minute supply. So it's not supplying enough water to supply the city one-to-one. So we do have to have a filling action that occurs. That's also the only time in the middle of the night that the water tower is turned on. All day long, the water tower is locked out by an altitude valve, or it's valved off, because if we've raised our system pressure when we built the new plant, and that water tower is too low, too short. So if we put it on the system during the day, we just overflow the water tower out the top all day long when the pressure is up, when you can take a shower. And then in the middle of the night, when we're filling these tanks, then that pressure in the tower can come down.
Mr. Jimmy, are there times during the day when there's also problems? I mean,
there are. Yeah. Kind of on the weekends, obviously, but I thought you were here to discuss the alternatives to the elevated water source that we talked about in the previous visit.
Well, to come up with alternatives, we need to know the size that is needed. In other words, if this 20,000-gallon tank meets the current requirements, then how much more capacity do you want tank-wise?
And it meets the requirements, right?
It meets the requirements.
It'll hook up 1,000 or 925, and we only have 600 and something on it, right?
Right. So, I mean, it gets back to we could size things, but we kind of need some direction on, you know, if you want a redundant tank, or if you want a tank somewhere else, you want the same size?
I don't mean to interrupt you, but David Harris had said something about a ground tank, and I think that passed a law not that long ago that did not require cities or municipalities our size to have an above ground tank. Yeah. Are you saying that the tank itself is okay, it's the lights that we have issues with?
The elevated water tower, you should go look at it. I mean, it is rusting away.
Okay, because you didn't mention the tower, you just mentioned the legs and rewelding them.
Well,
the
bowl itself, the little round sphere up there that is holding has got pinholes in it, and it's in terrible shape.
Okay.
And we did a report back in like 2012, took pictures, and it hadn't gotten any better. I mean, it was in bad shape then, and it's, you know, 4 years, 5 years older now, and it's really exceeded its life expectancy.
Would it be more beneficial if we went with, you know, a tank that sat on the ground than a tank that's raised?
Well, I mean, like the pressure tank that's next door meets the requirements of TCEQ. You do not have to have an elevated tower. So, I mean, the pressure tanks are an alternative. Fixing pressure problems within the city is a separate issue than having the TCEQ required pressure tank capacity. And it's all about putting pressure on the system, rather you elevate the water.
Right, so that it pushes it down.
Right. Or if you put it in a pressure tank and it has a section of air that's pressurizing it in that tank. That's your two main ways. I mean, you can do it with booster pumps and other things. But it still gets back to, if there's pressure problems within the city, then we need to study those and figure out what plumbing could be changed to improve the flow and fix the problems pressure-wise. But currently you have enough tank capacity to meet the rules.
For clarification, the pressure tank is the one that is the horizontal tank that looks like a big pill that sits above ground over here.
Yes, and then there's ground storage tanks, which are just holding the water, that pump that water either into the water tower or into the pressure tank. That ground storage tank is just a holding.
Is it a requirement that we have a water tower?
You have to have a pressure system. You can use a water tower, you can use pressure tanks, you can use booster pumps. You have to have a combination of those three things.
So right now you're saying the water tank that we have currently today is really redundant under the TCEQ requirements?
Yes.
Okay, so you could just tear it down and figure out a way to
still
meet the requirements.
I mean, there's benefit in redundancy. I mean, like when the water plant number one was wiped out in a hurricane, you still had your elevated tower. So, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, the controls and things have been elevated over there, so they're not at ground level anymore. But, you know, it could be struck by lightning, you could have a fire, any number of things could happen. So redundancy is certainly important. But there are ways you can get around in an emergency. You can bring in booster pumps and pressurize the system that way.
Does anybody else have
any questions? No, Nancy? Okay. Yeah, I think I have the next one also. Okay. 6.4.2, proposed sewer pipe cleaning and inspection. We got pricing from IPR, which is the company that did the work last year on South Country Club, or West Country Club rather, and on Shore Acres Boulevard. They are an HGAC by contractor, which means HGAC has taken bids so that small municipalities and cities can use contractors that have already pre-bid the work. And so the question that we had was cleaning and TVing the 21-inch to 24-inch line that runs from the water tower. This is the wastewater line. It goes across State Highway 146. And, of course, on West Country Club, there were failures. That line caved in. Literally, it's an old concrete line that was built in about 1963. And it has certainly reached its life expectancy. And so point was to TV the line that as it's going under the highway so that we get to it and do something with it before it caves in, because it would be terribly expensive if it caved in under the highway. The price that they gave to televise that line, and it's estimated to be 3,250 feet, and they clean and televise it is $23,050, and they are giving a discount of $1,900, so that their total price is $21,150. And I recommend that you approve that.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Can I say something on this, the $21,150? I don't want council to approve spending this money just yet because I think I have a sponsor that will actually pay for that. Okay, so we're going to move on to business. 7.1, reconsideration and action to approve resolution number 2017-245, refunding utility reconnect fees accessible water services connected on March 9, 2017. Jennings.
Make motion to reconsider and approve resolution 2017-45, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Shoreage authorizing the refund of the total collective sum of $1,025 charged to 41 separate utility customers at $25 per customer who had their water service disconnected on March 9, 2017, making various findings, provisions related to the subject, finding compliance with open communities law, and providing an effective date hereof.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion for reconsideration and action to, we have a motion to approve resolution number 2017-245, refunding utility reconnect fees accessible water services connected on March 9, 2017. The motion was brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Bowles. Do we have discussion?
This was approved unanimously 5-0. I don't understand why the mayor vetoed it, but such as it is, I'm probably more curious as to how a citizen stands up before this council and knowingly says that five people are not habitual and that the other 36 are habitual violators of the late water bills. I completely did not understand where that information would come from and how that would be public knowledge, if it is public knowledge, because I don't know that. So that is my comment on that. And as I said at the last meeting when I proposed this, this isn't about people that can or can't pay or do not or do pay or whatever. This is about we didn't do our job correctly as a city in notifying people of the changes in the way that we collect our water bills. That's it. Pure and simple. One time. And we cannot go back and say, okay, well, you're habitual, so you're going to get charged by this number, and you five, you know, you got caught up in this, so, you know, we're going to give you money back. You know, we just can't do that as a city council. We just have to apply the law fairly to everyone, and that's what we did. And, again, it passed 5-0, so I'll leave it at that.
McCown, do you have anything?
No.
Bowles?
No.
Yes, of course I do. Yeah, I'm actually the one that requested that you veto this because I did a little bit of thinking about it, and I did a little bit of research into, especially after the attorney bills of 1341, which is what we spent on just to refund $1,025. That brings the total cost of this up to $2,366. We are spending way too much money, and this whole ordinance change that was brought out, and I understand everybody thinks people need to pay their bills on time. It's common sense, and I can remember I was late, I think it was like last September I was late, and I was not happy with paying that $10 late fee. My bill at the time was like $54, and so I'm paying $10 on top of that. That's about a 200% payment. I mean, 200% fee if you look at the $10 that way. And I believe, Mr. Stahl, there was what? Last month we had 93 homes that we sent late notices to. I believe that's what you told me.
Yes.
And how many do we have this month?
Three.
Wonderful. So we have three homes that are late this month. Basically, what we did with this ordinance is we legislated common sense. That's not our job as council. And this is why. We just can't afford to do this. Think about it this way. I believe the average number of homes was like $119 per home of those 93. At $10 per home, that's $930. We just reduced our revenues by $900 because we want to legislate common sense, which is not common sense at all. If you look at it from an interest rate perspective, that's about 100% that an adult is paying, you know, if they want to be late on their water bill. I've got no problem with the city loaning somebody, you know, $119 at 100% annual rate. Instead, we want that $119 so we can put it into our checking account. Checking account gets 0.5% interest.
I have a point of order.
I have the floor.
Mr. Hoskin.
You're out of order.
I have a point of order.
What's
Mr. Hoskin is not addressing the issue at the motion.
No, I'm getting there.
Well, you're
getting there. Okay, I have the floor. Okay, so we take that money and we put it into an interest-bearing account at 0.5%. So effectively what we've done is we've taken that $10 and we are saving, we're putting it into a, we're going to collect about 5 cents in interest, a nickel. And now we want to take more money, $1,025, and we're going to cut that even further. The wonderful, absolutely splendid Jennings and Bowles budgeted for $16,000 in late fees. Now, we got to recoup from that as well on top of this $1,025. I'm not in favor of refunding the $1,025. I think we have much more work to do. And had we discussed this in a more appropriate manner, perhaps using a bulletin board system, which will be coming up in this meeting, then we wouldn't be where we're at today. But we've lost, I don't know how we're going to recoup that money, and I don't think we should take another $1,025 out of it. That's my point. I'm voting against resolution 2017-245.
Anybody else?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
The $1,025 has exactly zero to do with late fees. The $1,025 has to do with 41 people that have their services disconnected because we made a change in the way we accept payments. We did not communicate that payment, that change in the way we accept those payments adequately, and some people got caught up in that system. This has exactly nothing to do with the $10 per month charge. People can still feel free to pay their bills late if they want to, and I assure you that the $16,000 that we allocated is probably it is a conservative figure, and people will pay that. But this item that we are reconsidering, that Mr. Hoskins voted for after having 6 days from the attorney's opinion in his email to consider, strictly deals with people that had their water cut off because of a change in the policy that we did. And as Mr. Hoskins and Mr. Stahl just verified, the change was very effective, and the city coffers are collecting money on time, and now that we do not have to change and transfer money from the general fund to cover the utility fund while people do not pay their bills. So obviously I urge council to support this bill as you did 2 weeks ago. And that's all.
Okay, Callan, do you have anything? No? Okay, so we have a motion to approve resolution 2017-245 brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Bowles. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
That's 4-1. Okay, moving on. 7.2, discussion of Southeast Texas Housing Finance Corporation Affordable Housing Fund Program. Bowles?
I will hear all this, please.
And move on to 7.3, consideration and action to approve resolution number 2017-247, approving the payment of invoices. Do you have a motion?
Make a motion that we approve resolution 2017-247 approving the payment of invoices.
I'll second.
So we have a motion brought by Alderwoman Schnell, seconded by Alderman Hoskins, to approve resolution number 2017-247 approving the payment of invoices. Do we have discussion?
Mayor, request that this resolution and motion be divided into two parts. One part to approve all invoices except for those invoices from Greg and Greg, and the second one to be invoices from Greg and Greg.
So we're going to divide this into two. We have a
point of order. We need to have general consent in order to do this.
No,
so you need to do it by motion.
No,
yes,
you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
It says in the rules that if one city council member requests
it has to be
general divided,
consent.
That the mayor shall
general
divide
consent.
It. It's not general consent.
Okay. Point of order. Section 2-85-3C of our code states, if the question contains two or more divisional propositions, the presiding officer may, upon request of a council member, shall divide the same. That's exactly what happened.
So if on his request, I have to divide it.
I requested it. It's required.
It has to be taken to vote. It'll be a motion.
Okay, so we have now we have a motion to approve all invoices except for Greg and Greg.
And a motion to approve Greg and Greg.
All right. So on a motion to approve all invoices except Greg and Greg, do we have a second?
I second.
Well, okay,
so
all those down.
Motion.
I made the original.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's
it's divided.
So, discussion. Do you want discussion?
I keep having a problem with this. Specifically, why are we always late on our invoices? We're late on paying bills. For example, the Verizon bill for $400 total amount due shows that there's no payment received. There's a previous balance. There's a past due amount. Why are we not paying our bills on time? And we expect our citizens to pay their bills on time, but our city can't.
The Verizon bill, I think you're looking at there, reflects the payment that was made and has been since applied to that. Two factors into that. One is that we receive bills. We used to receive bills up to the day of the council meeting and pay the bills. For example, today I have a stack of bills that were received. And today being Monday, they came in Saturday. They give Friday, Saturday, and today. That's 3 days worth. Those bills are not on the agenda tonight because we changed the policy. We don't pay any bills unless they're in the council packet. So now those bills, it will be more than 2 weeks, minimum, sometimes more than 3 weeks because of the timing of council meetings before it will be on the agenda to pay. And then they'll be processed, and the checks prepared, and the earliest they could go in the mail would be the Tuesday following. We are going to, because of the timing of that, we will have bills that get paid late. It's just a timing issue. The other factor is the accounts payable clerk resigned, and we do not have a replacement of the accounts payable clerk. So you have a city administrator who is also now a payroll person, because our clerk was the payroll person, and it's the accounts payable clerk, because we don't have an accounts payable clerk for 2 months. It is doing all of those things, and yes, I am behind, and I have new staffing, and we're going to catch up, but, you know, I can only do so much.
Is that a policy? Is it a policy that we put on this council, or is it a resolution? Because I think that, you know, if only it was in the budget, we're allowed to pay them.
The mayor instructed me that we were not to pay any bills unless it was put in the packet on Thursday for council.
We
also have a city resolution that gives a list of bills that can be paid in advance of the council meeting. Specifically excluded is the phone bill for Verizon because it's a variable bill. It's different than the electric bill, but we really don't have much option, which is on the list.
Was that Mayor Moses that put that in there?
No, it was Mayor Sanford.
Mayor Moses.
Okay, well, all right, okay, you've answered my question.
But I made the policy so I can change it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if a bill comes in, just pay it.
So you guys are going to gripe at him for...
No, I'm not griping at him at all. I'm just, you know, obviously if it's causing our... running the bill through council, it's causing him to be late, and we're incurring late fees. And we'll
just told you that when you did it.
Yeah. Mr. Stahl explained it, and I'm satisfied. It's a satisfactory explanation.
Right.
I'm fine with it.
Okay, so we have a motion... A motion to approve all invoices except for Greg and Greg's. It was brought by Schnell, seconded by Hoskins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those against?
Aye.
So it's 2-1. We have Jerome McCown, who voted against it. We have Alderman Hoskins and Alderman Schnell, who voted for it. And we have Alderman Bold and Alderman Jennings, who have abstained. It passes. So we're going to move on. We have a motion to approve the invoices of Greg and Greg, brought by Alderman... Oh, we just have a motion to approve. It was brought by Alderwoman Schnell, seconded by Hoskins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Whoa, 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 whoa. There's discussion.
Okay, you want to...
Point of order. We don't have a parliamentarian. Is that correct? The city does not have a parliamentary.
That has nothing to do with
the agenda
item.
I'm objecting because I have the right to the floor. We're talking about Greg and Greg.
Right. We have discussion on a motion to approve Greg and Greg invoices. If that's what you want to discuss, go for it. We'll start with you, Jennings.
Well, yeah, the bills are absolutely correct. And the reason the bills are so high is because of the obstruction of Mayor Sanford and Alderman Hoskins and to some extent Alderman Snell. That's a fact.
I think that's a lie, So, Jennings, are you done?
I'm done.
McCown?
He's our city attorney. He's done our service. He's done everything we've asked. He has a bill. He's turned it in. We need to pay it.
No.
The bills don't seem to be coming in a timely fashion. Last council meeting, I believe it was Alderman Hoskins that asked Mr. Stahl why there wasn't an invoice from Greg and Greg, and he said it was on the meeting prior, when indeed that was not the case, because the bill was not received until February 28th. They need to be timely, and they need to be accurate. That's all I have to say.
Bowles?
Alderman Bowles. I believe that he's our city attorney, and if we have a question, we can call and talk to him. If there's dispute, and bill gets run up, and if we want to debate the attorney on his decisions, then bill's going to get higher as well. So that's all I have.
Hoskins.
Okay. I'm going to take a slightly different approach because I like to go through and take a look. And I'm going to first start by reading an email, which is sure public information and not attorney client privilege violation. It came from Alderman Bowles, sent to Chris Gregg. Mr. Gregg, would you please attend Shore Acres City Council meeting on Monday, March 27th? Our city code requires two members of council to request your presence. Myself and Mr. Jennings are requesting your presence. Thank you, Alderman Ricky Bowles. Why? Alderman Bowles, yes, I will attend, Chris Gregg. That's the email exchange. Now, on the bill, on 3/24, that exact same day, we have a review email from Alderman Bowles regarding attending meeting. Draft reply email to all council regarding attendance at meeting. 30 minutes. We were paying him $87.50 to say, yes, I will attend. That was the best legal advice I've ever heard. And it's here in writing. And ordinarily, in accordance with the resolution agreement with Mr. Gregg, we're billed at 15-minute increments. So it certainly took him more than 15 minutes to say, yes, I will attend. I have a problem with this bill. And I'm sure this is just the tip of the iceberg.
May I?
You may.
Also, prior to that email, there was an email sent, if you would do a PIA, which obviously you have, and ask. I actually sent some more information and asked an opinion on it. So there was more than just him replying to that. So
are you referring to the opinion on whether or not you can post on Nextdoor?
No, it's not the Nextdoor post. It was more to do with the meeting. We had a conversation dealing with our discussion.
He is required to send to represent all of council, not just you.
That's correct. That is correct. And he's representing all of us.
No, he's not.
Yes,
he's clearly your attorney.
It's our attorney.
No, I have to disagree. Because he said remove, and that was on the 24th, and there was no prior email attached.
There is another email. If you'll go back and check it, it's there. It's all public record.
We shouldn't have to do a PIA. We're entitled to an artist.
Well, then go ask for it. He is supposed to provide that to us. He has been told to represent all of council. And in doing so, when any one of council contacts him, all of council is to be responded to.
That
did not happen.
Okay,
then let's move on then to draft resolution suspending subfund. We spent $350 on that. If we need oversight for anything, it's your use of city attorneys.
That is not mine.
I know. That is
thank you.
Alderman Jennings. Jennings.
Let's talk about the debate you had with him about his legal opinion.
He has before. You don't have to wait.
So.
Well, we can talk about that. That was a matter. Review emails from Alderman Bolt regarding Seth program issue. $787. Wonderful. Go ahead. You can have the floor.
Yeah.
I think we're done discussion.
Okay. So are we going to vote, or Jennings, do we want to come back to you? Do you have anything else?
I don't even want to say here. No, I'm ready to vote on this.
Okay. Ms. McCallum, do you have anything?
No.
I will just, for clarification, the billing at 30 minutes says review email from Alderman Bowles regarding attending meeting, draft reply email to all council regarding attending meeting. If there was more in there, maybe he should be a little bit more descriptive in his billing, because it does not look appropriate. 30 minutes? I mean, a three-year-old can probably figure out how to read and type that fast. So I just wanted to bring that up for clarification. I mean, if the billing needs to be a little bit more succinct, then that's what needs to happen.
Bold. Yes. So we're going to vote. All those in favor of approving resolution to pay the invoices of Greg and Greg?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against it?
Nay.
So it passes 3-2. Jennings, Bold, and McCown voted aye, and Hoskins and Schnell voted nay. Moving on to 7.4, discussion and action to approve resolution number 2016-248, appointing a member of the position for the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board for a term beginning April 11, 2017 and January 31st, 2018. I do not see Dana Miller here tonight, so I wouldn't think it's appropriate for us to do that without her present.
I believe Mr. Bowles has.
I spoke with Ms. Miller earlier this evening, and she would like to be on the board. She spoke after the last meeting, spoke with me. That after replacing Amanda Gonzalez on, that if there was another spot open, she had requested that she, if there's a spot open, she would like to volunteer. Therefore, I asked that, you know, will you approve it and allow her to?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2017-248, a resolution appointing a member of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date hereof.
A second.
Okay, so we have a motion brought by Jennings to approve resolution number 2016-248, seconded by Bowles. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against? Okay, it passes unanimously. 7.5, consideration and action to approve ordinance number 2017-261, amending short city code section 282, norms of operation. Jenny.
Make a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-261, an ordinance amending the story for city code section 282, norms of operation, providing a severability clause, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the meetings law, and providing an effective date hereof.
Is there a second?
Second.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-251 brought by Jennings, seconded by McCown. Any discussion?
The reason I'm obviously putting this forward is that on two occasions, the mayor and Alderman Hoskins have, whatever you want to call it, they have denied
council the right to discuss items on the agenda with incorrect information from Robert's rules. This just clarifies it via the city code, which overrides Robert's rules, that if a council member wants to discuss something and puts it on the agenda, the council member can discuss it.
Is that it?
That's it.
McCown?
No, I'm good.
No?
I'm good.
Okay. Hold on. Are you sure you want to open this can of worms? And this is Pandora's box. This is the most poorly written ordinance that I've seen today. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but I will make a deal with you. I'll rewrite this so that the right of discussion is there and it's within our city code and done in a more appropriate manner than this. And I'll post it on the bullet board system, which is coming up, and you'll be able to see, and I'll be able to explain to you exactly why you don't want to take this approach. There's a better approach. I already know what it is, but this one is Pandora's box for you. And you will not like next meeting if you pass this one. Or you can pass this one, but pass the bulletin board system too. This isn't about, if you want transparency and open government, pass them both. And I will work on rewriting the code so that it prevents some of the pitfalls that I see in this ordinance. And I guarantee you the ordinance that I write, you'll wind up having a 5-0 vote on this. All of council will agree on it. And it won't cost the city a dime. That's all I had to say on it, but I'm going to be voting against this ordinance change.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Okay,
well, I appreciate the fact that Mr. Hoskins apparently stays at the Holiday Inn most nights of the week. This ordinance was written by our city attorney.
I need to ask you to refrain from making disparaging remarks against other council members.
And is valid and will pass, hopefully, and will allow council to discuss things when they need to discuss things. Twice, items of interest to the citizens and the community, and certain of those members of council have been shut down by incorrect rulings by the mayor. So that's all this ordinance does. It puts it in the city code. You can veto it. We'll try to override it later. So all this ordinance does, it allows us to talk.
Ma'am?
McCown? Anything? Schnell? Bowles?
This is why we have meetings. To discuss things. Talk about it. And if we can't talk about it here, we would do it on a message board, behind a keyboard, and not face-to-face. There's an issue. That's what these meetings are for. That's why we have people here. They want to hear what's going on. This is transparency. Let's talk about it. So, I don't understand it. But.
Yeah, I know you don't understand it. But, you know, there's plenty of courses out there that have offers. And I highly recommend.
Of course, we can't call team.
Yeah, we can't call team. Call point of order on that one, Mayor. No, he's insulted. No. Yeah.
You're out of order. He has the floor.
I have the floor. I'm not suggesting that you call TML. There is online documentation. I've read through. How many on council have really read through the handbook for council members? I've read through all of it. Nobody. I don't get it.
May I?
No. It doesn't come back to you. You don't get to speak a second time until everybody else has the opportunity. That is actually the rules.
I make a motion to overturn the chair's decision.
Second. Yeah, you're here.
Second. No, just, you've got the floor again. Go ahead.
We have a motion right now.
A second.
No, a motion to what?
Overturn your decision.
Override the ruling of the chair.
On what?
You just told me I couldn't speak. I'm asking for an override.
No, that is you need to read Robert's rules.
This is a valid motion, Mayor. This is a valid motion. Yes, we have a motion.
One person gets to speak, and the person doesn't get to speak again until everybody else has had a chance to speak, Bull. That's the rule. I mean, you guys change the rules to suit you every time you don't like them, which is fine, but those are the rules.
And if everybody wants to through unanimous consent, give you the floor. That's fine. That's You've fine. Got your unanimous consent. Go for it.
We have a motion.
We have a second.
That's the rules.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
I don't care.
I don't either.
He's got unanimous
consent. He doesn't care. So on this decision, we did take it to the. I need to read the rules and all that, but this is the debate I said earlier about the attorney. He ruled that your motion last week was improper.
No.
Whoa. Don't put. We got a legal opinion on it, and he even stated and mailed it to everybody on council. That is the fact. And that's what we're doing right here. You can sit there and insult or say that I need to take a TML class or whatever. That's fine. But the thing of it is our city attorney made a decision, made a ruling on the whole thing, and came back and said he even talked to TML about it. And they said, no, that was not a proper motion to not allow me to discuss something. That's the second time that's what we're voting on right here. That's it. I have the floor. I'm not saying another word about it.
Okay, are you done?
Did I not just say I'm done?
The attorney actually came to council last time, and it was that you can suspend the rules by a supermajority of council, and you guys didn't have it. We're doing are following Robert's rules. I understand y'all don't like the rules, but those are the rules, and the attorney has changed his opinion many times, and the taxpayers keep paying for these bad opinions, and then he turns around and he amends them. It's getting out of hand. So anyway, all those in favor, we have a consideration. Where are we at?
We're voting on ordinance 2017.
Consideration and action to approve ordinance number 2017-261, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 282, Norms of Operation, brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by McCown. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
It passes. Jennings, Bowles, and McCown are the ayes. Schnell and Hoskins are the nays. 7.6, consideration and action to approve an adjustment reduction to a utility account balance in an amount greater than $500 in accordance with Shoreacre City Code, Section 66188.
We have a utility customer who had a sizable water leak on the property. When they consumed, or didn't really consume, they expended 203,000 gallons of water in one month. They made a repair to that and had used 3,000 and 4,000 gallons subsequent to that per month. Our normal policy is that we, when the repair has been made, that we do an adjustment by averaging 6 months, including the 203,000 gallon consumption. That has been done to average that to 35,000 gallons. An adjustment of water and sewer in that case would reduce the amount due on the water by $1,386 and the sewer by $168. Customer has been paying the other bills. The balance is $1,924.64. The adjustment, which would normally have been done administratively, but now we have an ordinance that requires anything over $500, but I'm fully in agreement with it. It comes to council for approval, so that's what this is here tonight. It would reduce the amount that's owed on that account to $370.64.
Okay, so do we have a motion?
Does it require a motion? I mean, unless there's any objection by council.
It requires approval by council, so you would have to make.
I'll make a motion to approve the adjustment as written by Mr. Stahl.
I second. So we have a motion to approve an adjustment presented by Mr. Stahl, brought by Jennings, seconded by Schnell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Moving on, 7.7, consideration and approval ordinance number 2017-262, amending Shoreacre City Code to retain the online message board that according to Texas Government Code Section 5.29.006, Hoskins.
I move to approve ordinance 2017-262, amending Shoreacre City Code to retain a city online message board in accordance with Government Code 5.29.006.
Second.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-252 brought by Hoskins. Do we have a second?
A second.
Seconded by Schnell.
Well, we're going to try it again, folks. This is, again, it's about open government and transparency. And I can assure you that if you pass this tonight, you're going to learn a lot more about why the previous ordinance was not good. I'll be 100% honest with you about it. We can't, in meetings, be disrespectful to one another. We can do it online, too. And it's not about hiding behind a keyboard. It's about taking the time to give serious consideration and thought and advance notice of what we're trying to accomplish as council. And that's been taken away. We've been literally a lot of times ambushed at times without having enough time to go through what we do in a timely manner. Ordinarily, we get a lot of these ordinance changes and resolutions 3 days before council meeting. And sometimes that's just not enough time. And the bulletin board system is a very valuable tool for us to demonstrate open government and transparency. And I would hope that council passes that this time.
I'm sorry, Jennings?
Yeah. Seems like this comes up every council meeting. I just want to, the BBS was passed August 10th of 2015, a year before Mr. Hoskins was on council. And the specific reason, and this, the bulletin board has zero to do with transparency. It has everything to do with allowing people, members of council, to talk to each other in between council meetings. As a matter of fact, if you go back and listen to the recording from that meeting, Alderman Schnell specifically stated that. Specifically, that's the reason for the BBS, is that council members can talk to each other in between council members. It has nothing to do with transparency. It's just not part of this bill. It's not part of the thing. And I voted for it. I voted for it 3 times. We passed it. And when we used it, and it worked okay. I mean, some of us used it that first year. I don't think my friend Jerome ever did, but some of us did. And it was cordial, and it was sometimes informative. Sometimes there were no responses, whatever. After the last election, it changed. And it became more of a Facebook type thing where people were just insulting each other. It just made our whole community look bad, and it was online for everyone to see. I voted for it 3 times. I voted against it twice, and ultimately we got rid of it. I'm going to vote against it again tonight, and because the purpose of the bulletin board is just so we can talk about issues, it isn't to insult each other. And the very last post on that bulletin board, and it was on the, I think it was shut down February the 9th after our meeting, Mr. Hoskins went on the bulletin, the very last post, Mr. Hoskins talks about transparency, but the very last thing written on that bulletin board, he insulted and actually lied about Alderman McCallum, Alderman Bowles, and myself. I mean, that's what he did. You can do it for yourself. So don't believe everything you hear, folks. Look at the facts. You know, it's more about what people do and not about what they say. And you know what? If we get a different council going forward in the future that doesn't want to use that as a campaign issue or to insult people, then I'll be open to it. But right now, that's not what this is about. Thank you.
McCallum?
I believe that in October of last year, this came up with Alderman Hoskins, and I voted to keep the bulletin board alive with the understanding that if it got out of hand, that I would vote against it. Since at one time it was done properly, and in recent months it's been used negatively, abusively, been degrading some of the city employees, been used as a whipping post. And because of the bulletin board, I'm still very much Shore Acres proud. But because of the bulletin board, I'm still, and now, I am Shore Acres embarrassed. So I hope my colleagues will vote against it.
Snell?
I still think it was a good tool for council. And transparency, I really wasn't thinking about that so much, but it was something that was afforded to the citizens. They could sit there and it's like, okay, well, maybe so-and-so's leaning toward voting this direction, and then they can contact you and pick your brain. But was it misused? Absolutely it was. Was it used to insult people? Absolutely it was. Did I do it? Well, no, I didn't. But let me tell you this. This just happened this evening here. We can do it one of two ways, and this is also out there everywhere. It's on a recording. It's audio recording. It's not just words. So, I mean, which is more embarrassing, doing it on purpose or a person or from your home? I don't know. Neither one is a good thing. So we're going to start canceling, we're just cancel meetings because we can't act like adults. I don't know. But that's all I have to say.
Bulls?
I have nothing to say.
Austin?
I'm done.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those against?
Aye.
Aye. Bill? Aye. We have no other business. We'll adjourn. 8:22.